In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. I'd like you to take a moment to look around you. And I mean, really, actually take a second and look around you at the other people that are near you and maybe a little further. I know this is very not Father Wilson, right? Okay, you can look back. So what did you notice? You probably see some familiar faces, right? Some people you know well, some people you know, but you see regularly, don't really know well, but you do know them or you've seen them, and maybe some people you've never seen before. Now, I'd like you to now think about the other four masses that we have at St. Mary's and try to visualize the people's faces at those masses as well, right? I have often been fond of pointing out that there is absolutely nothing else that I could offer at this parish, not a Bible study or a cocktail party or some rock concert or sporting event, nothing, any other program or event that would draw the same number of people from the most diverse backgrounds than just one Holy Mass. It's the power that this Mass has. Of course, we gather for this, but we don't just gather in some random place, right? You know you're not in a bank, you're not in a grocery store, you're not in a gym, right? From the earliest days of the faith, whenever possible, as our numbers grew, Christians set aside physical places in which to gather. Any other place was considered temporary. As I alluded to, you might remember, there was once Mass in a gymnasium here, right? And you could tell that people thought it temporary because they always called it the gym. They didn't call it St. Angela Hall. Now I'm going to Mass in the gym. But we built new buildings whenever we could, and in our history, we've always consecrated them. And eventually, we even called them by the same name that we use for ourselves, churches. These buildings became physical images of the living body of believers, the church, with a capital C. As the church is the bride of Christ, then, these buildings would be adorned and made beautiful as a bride. Because it's a symbol of the same bride, which is you. You are beautiful. I can say that. Now today, we relive the day that this building was set aside for divine worship. The day it went from just becoming a space to a church. On that frosty evening, you might remember 7 years ago, this space was transformed through the power of the blessing of God into a true temple, a place in which the people of God gather as living stones of the living church of Jesus Christ. It is a place for us to come and rest and be taught by the Word of God and nourished by His body and blood. We come here to the church to be formed as the church. In the words of St. Peter today, we are truly the living stones. But of course, we are living stones that can't stand alone. There's another stone that has to be there, the cornerstone, Jesus Christ. St. John's Gospel today gives us the hopefully well-known story of Jesus purifying, cleansing the temple. Now recall, in your history, the Jews had one place of worship. By Jesus' time, there was one place of worship, the one temple located in Jerusalem, and only in Jerusalem. Imagine the only Christian church in the world was Aiken, South Carolina, and if you wanted to go worship, you had to go to Aiken, South Carolina. That's the way it was for the Jews, right? Now, for the greatest religious feasts, especially for Passover, all good practicing Jews would travel sometimes hundreds of miles in order to come to the temple and offer worship, sacrifice to God, the one God. And one example of this, we know Simon of Cyrene, right? You might know him from the fifth station of the cross. He's in scripture. He was made to help Jesus carry his cross, pressed into service during the crucifixion. Simon was in Jerusalem for Passover, and he had traveled from Cyrene, which is in present day, does anybody know? Libya, okay? 783 miles without a car or an airplane. And Simon was one dedicated Jew, right? And we complain if the church is more than a 15 or 20 minute drive, but I digress. Anyway, Jesus then identifies his body with the temple. There in the midst of all of the Jews around who have come for Passover to do their worship, there Jesus is identifying his body as the new temple. It is earth-shaking for him to say this. The people of Israel viewed the temple as the successor to the Garden of Eden and the Ark of Noah. It was built on the site where Abraham was asked to sacrifice his son Isaac. Of course, God didn't allow that at the end. And then he made a blessing with Abraham and all of his descendants on that spot. The temple was connected to Moses through the Ark of the Covenant. It was housed there in the temple. And also it was thoroughly intertwined with God's covenant with King David and his descendants, of course, down to the Messiah. It was the place of true communion with the true God and the place to offer sacrifice, the only place. Nothing was higher than the temple except for God himself in the mind of a Jew. And then they hear these words. Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Jesus identifies his body as the new temple, a temple about which the prophet Ezekiel had foretold. From the side of the temple, the heavenly temple in Ezekiel's vision, flowed a great river that brought new life to previously barren lands. And what happens? From the pierced side of Jesus would flow the river of life, blood and water, Eucharistic blood, baptismal water, the sacraments of the church, which carry the Spirit to us. All of the sacraments have their origin in the sacrificial death of Jesus Christ. Now, for you historians out there, you might remember in the year 70 AD, the Romans destroyed that one temple in Jerusalem, never to be rebuilt. So how are we going to sacrifice to God? Sacrifice actually didn't stop. Sacrifice was continued. Sacrifice continued because the temple is no longer bound to one place and one magnificent edifice. The temple is Jesus. And worship continues wherever he is. Wherever he is, he presents to you and me the one perfect sacrifice on the cross. At this Mass, at this very moment, we are there. It's not a new sacrifice. We are at the sacrifice, a sort of spiritual time travel, if you will, that God does. Because God exists outside of all space and time. Heaven and earth are meeting in this place. The temple is Jesus. Worship continues wherever he is, and he is here in this place. And you are the stones for that temple that he is. So true, the church is not a building, but we need and use physical buildings in which to worship. And they have tremendous symbolic, psychological, and practical importance. So many people joined in to build this structure. And it's inside our buildings, consecrated to God, that we celebrate the most important moments of our lives. Our rebirth in holy baptism, first holy communion, confirmation. It is here, of course, that we are forgiven, especially in our confessionals. And it is here in the churches that we pledge our lives until death to our beloved in holy matrimony. And we all know, in some church, we will make one last trip down an aisle in death, but with the promise of eternal life with Christ to come. The most important moments of our lives are framed in these spaces. The word in the Bible for church is ekklesia. It's a Greek word that literally means to be called out of. You and I are called out of ourselves. Jesus is the head. We are the body of this temple. People who encounter you and me out there, outside of these walls, should encounter not us, but Jesus. Through the intercession of Mary, the Mother of God, and help of Christians, our patroness, may God bless our entire parish family today and always, and keep us focused on the mission. And this is the mission. It's quite simple: to bring people to Jesus. That's the mission. Not to bring them to ourselves, but to bring them to Jesus. It's not easy. It's when we come here and are nourished and strengthened to go out there and do it. It's simple, but not easy. We are called out to be bearers of the light, light from light, God from God, Jesus Christ, to be truly then a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people set apart of his own, to announce the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Happy anniversary, parish family. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us stand.